Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
The end of Luke 21, it says, pray that you would be counted worthy to escape all of these things and stand before the Son of Man. Pray that you'd be counted worthy. How do you do that? You say, well, what if I'm left behind? Bummer. Mega bummer, actually, if you're left behind.
Jesus' return is growing closer and closer every day. Are you ready? How can we be sure we're ready? Well, that can be answered with one question. Do you walk with God? That is, do you abide with Him? Do you love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? If so, then we all should be keeping our eyes on the skies, because Jesus promised He would come to take those He loves before this earth sees wrath like none ever before. With part two of our teaching in Genesis 5, here's Robert Furrow.
Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. After he begat Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. All right, let's talk about Enoch walking with God. Well, let's read here the next verse. Enoch walked with God, had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Now, it's kind of a strange verse. Enoch is a prophet. Enoch has a son by the name of Methuselah. Enoch's name means teaching. Methuselah's name means his death shall bring, or dying it shall happen. His death shall bring. Okay, so Methuselah, his death shall bring. So he names his name, his death shall bring. The interesting thing about Methuselah is that Methuselah dies the year of the flood. He either died in the flood, or better yet, he died and then the flood came. So God gives Enoch this prophecy, and Methuselah, when he dies, the flood actually happens. Now, I believe that the flood is a type of the destruction of God. It is the destruction of God upon this world, and it's a type of the future destruction. Jesus said there is a time coming upon this earth that is worse than anything this world has ever seen and worse than anything that will ever happen. Matthew 24, Luke 21, Mark 13 all talk about pestilence, earthquakes, famine, hardships, difficulties. Revelation, the heart of the book of Revelation, is about that 7-year period of destruction that's coming upon this earth. 3 years of tribulation, and 3.5 years of tribulation, and 3.5 years of great tribulation. And so the flood is a type of the destruction that will come, and Enoch is a type of the church being raptured. Enoch walks with God and is no more because God takes him. And when we in the church walk with God, there is a day coming when we will be no more because God will take us. Jesus promised, I'm going away, and if I go away, I will come back for you and I will get you and take you where I am. He didn't say, I'm going to come back and hang out with you guys on the earth. He said, I'm going to come back and take you, that where I am, there you will be also. At least 7 years with him up in heaven and then upon the earth. He's going to come and take us before that tribulation period. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, we're not all going to sleep. Meaning literally, we're not all going to die. But some of us are going to be changed in a moment and in a twinkling of an eye. This corruptible will put on incorruptible, and this mortal will put on immortality. The day is coming when there will be a shout, a trumpet of God in the sky, and we will be caught up together, 1 Thessalonians tells us, to meet the Lord, and we will forever be with Him. It's a promise from His Word. Now, the Bible says in the last days, scoffers will arise. Certainly, scoffers have arisen. And there are those who will say, come on, you really believe that the church is going to be raptured? And the interesting thing is that the scoffers come from within the church now. It used to be outside of the church, but they're in the church. And there's a lot of scoffers and mockers. When is it going to happen? Well, the Lord told us in 1 Peter that God's not slack concerning His promises, but that God desires all to be saved and all to come to the knowledge of the truth. So why is God waiting? Because he wants to see more people saved. He wants to see more people come to Christ, because we're to be about the business that we have been called to, which is seeing people saved and encouraged and strengthened, seeing people come to Christ and back out sharing their faith as well. Now, to God, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. God lives completely in a completely different realm than you and I. And I love the "if I were God" statements. You ever make those statements? "If I were God, I wouldn't do it that way." I've made those statements before. And, well, the Bible agrees with me. The Bible says that God's ways are as high above my ways as the heavens are above the earth. But here's the thing. God is more gracious than any man. If you were the judge of the world, the Bible says, surely the judge of the earth will do right. God is the judge of the earth, and when he judges, he will do right. If you, think about you, if you were the judge of the world, you might think, I would just let man go on and on. No biggie. I just let it happen. But you know what I think? I think that if you saw tonight everything that happens to people in this city, everything that men do to women and men do to children and women do to men and children, if you saw everything in dark corners and back alleys and dark rooms, everything that man did, I think in one night you would say, toast them. They're done. Look at the heart of man. It is totally wicked. I think that if you could read the hearts, not just the minds of people's thoughts, but if you could get down into the motives of man's heart, you might find nothing. You, as the judge, might say, I don't know that there is anything that's really worthy, because the heart of man is wicked. After the fall, much more wicked than we want to let people on, much more wicked than we want to let people know. Our hearts indeed are. God not only sees what happened in Tucson last night, but he sees what happened in every city all around the world. And he sees it every night, night after night after night after night. And one side of our mouth, we say, God shouldn't judge man. God should just let him go. On the other side, we say, how can God let this happen? How can God keep allowing these people to do it? And so God has the balance. The day will come. There is a day in the future that he is going to judge this earth, and he will do it. But until then, he's been gracious. I like to call it the Methuselah effect. Well, why the Methuselah effect? Because Enoch, the prophet, names his son. When he dies, it will take place, or as we put down here, shall come down, that God's going to come down bringing that wrath with him. And Methuselah ends up being the longest guy to ever live. So God gives Enoch this prophecy that when Methuselah dies, the flood's going to come, and then God allows him to be the longest man that ever lives. That's our God. Our God is more gracious than anyone. God pushed it off as far as he possibly could, and he allowed this guy that was the promise about his death, it would happen. I wonder, as I look at this, I wonder if there's somebody that God has alive today. We talk sometimes about the last person to get saved, a number of people that got to get saved before Jesus comes back again. What if it's a guy or a gal that God's letting live until he finally, just like Methuselah. And so then Enoch walked with God and was no more, for God took him. And people say, well, you really believe in the rapture of the church? Yeah, why wouldn't I? God took Enoch. Why can't God take us? Can't God do that? Doesn't God work in miracles today? God moves today. God works in miracles today. God can do what he did back then. I have no problem. The end of Luke 21, it says, pray that you would be counted worthy to escape all of these things and stand before the Son of Man. Pray that you'd be counted worthy. How do you do that? You say, well, what if I'm left behind? Bummer. Mega bummer, actually, if you're left behind. What will cause you to be left behind? Well, what caused Enoch to be taken? Enoch walked with God and was no more, for God took him. It's walking with God. The Bible says that Jesus will say, away from me, I never knew you, to religious people. It's not about going to church. It's not about joining a church. It's not about joining a denomination. Jesus said in John 17:3, and this is eternal life, to know the one true God and the Son whom he sent. You know him and you walk with him. And you were created for that. Remember back in the garden, Adam and Eve walking with God? You were created to know God and to have fellowship with him. And you will never be fulfilled and never be satisfied until you do. And if you know God and if you love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, when he comes, he will take you as well, even as he has promised that he would. It goes on then and says, Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. After he begat Lamech, now Lamech's name means the despairing. Nice name to name your child, isn't it? Let's name our child the despairing, but his name means, it's the root meanings of the words of his name, the despairing. So verse 29, and he called, Lamech lived 182 years and had a son, and he called his name Noah, saying, this one will comfort us from concerning our work. So despairing had a son and named his son Comfort. For Noah means comfort. He named him Noah and said, this one will comfort us from our work. So despairing has a son whose name is Comfort. Now, I've got my little iPad open up here to a web page. It's Chuck Missler's web page. How many of you guys are familiar with Chuck Missler? All right, so a few of you guys are. He's been around for a while. He's done a lot of stuff with Calvary. And he's got some things that he calls treasures in the Bible. And I started to write these down, and that's when I thought, I'm just going to go with the webpage. I'm going to surf the web while I'm teaching. Talk about being signs of the times. So I have his webpage up. He has what he calls treasures of the Bible. He also believes the Bible codes. We talked about Q&As earlier. One of the questions I get at Q&As is, are the Bible codes true? I have difficulty with the Bible codes because I'm skeptical. Let's put it that way. They may very well be true. God may have hidden a code. The Bible says it is the pleasure of God to disguise a thing or to hide a thing. So God has put things in the Word for us to dig out, and maybe he put codes in there. They talk about Itzhak Rabin's assassination being in there. They talk about the Twin Towers being in these codes, and they built, it's funny because when I think when Bible codes first came out was the mid, early 90s maybe when they start talking about it, and they talked about supercomputers. There's a supercomputer now that's looking for codes in the Bible. Well, now you have a supercomputer in your smartphone. So I don't know if we talk about supercomputers anymore. But I have trouble with a program that goes and looks for these patterns. So it's looking for every fourth word or every 20th word or every 30th letter. And they're looking for these different patterns. And then they're looking for them to line up in certain ways. And guys that have, I've never really wanted to go and study those Bible codes in detail. I like to get my hands around things. Guys that are smart, a lot smarter than me, have looked over them and said, that doesn't happen. This doesn't work. It's not happening. And then there are guys like Chuck Missler, incredibly bright. I mean, incredibly bright. And who believe it. So you got these really sharp guys that believe it and really sharp guys that don't believe it. And then you got me that go, I'm skeptical. Well, I don't know. So I don't know. If you pushed me to tell you whether I thought they were really true or not, I would probably tell you that I don't. If I was really pushed. So if I lean one way, I lean away from the Bible codes. However, Chuck Missler does something else where he talks about the treasures of the Bible. And he goes in and he looks at genealogies and different things, dates that are put in and different things, and puts them together in some very significant things. And I just gave you the names listed off of his website, where he's got the names, 10 of them, Adam, Seth, Enosh, Kenan, Mahalalel, Jared, Noah, Methuselah, Lamech, and Noah. And now I want to read their names in a sentence form. Follow down what you wrote and listen to it when you put all of these 10 names together in a row. Man appointed mortal sorrow. The blessed God shall come down teaching. His death shall bring despairing comfort, which is pretty amazing. Which is, now that I can get my hands around. That I could spend today, when I read on his website that you've got to go to the root words to get the meaning of it. I spent time going to the root words. I spent time going back and back and back, finding what the root words were to these names until I felt comfortable with it. It's not a supercomputer doing it that you just got to go, well, I guess we believe the supercomputer. It's actually being able to do it. When I had first learned, I don't know, I was 21 or 22 years old, that Methuselah died the year of the flood, I drew a chart. I got rulers out and I got the names. Okay, Adam died here, and I mapped it out to see if he actually did. And he actually came to the place of where Methuselah died in the year that the flood came. We can get our hands around these things. And I think it's pretty amazing that in these 10 names we find in Genesis chapter 5, there is the message of the gospel. God actually coming to bring those who are despairing comfort. I found that pretty phenomenal. Chuck Missler will give him credit for that. And let's move on. So we go to Noah in verse 29. And he called his name Noah, saying, "This one will comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord God has cursed." After he begat Noah, Lamech lived 595 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Lamech were 777 years and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now let's talk for a minute before you close your Bibles about Shem, Ham, and Japheth. It's interesting. We know that Noah takes Shem, Ham, and Japheth onto the boat. Then after everybody else is destroyed, Shem, Ham, and Japheth come off of the boat. A lot of skepticism out there about the flood, about Shem, Ham, and Japheth being real people, and about being the fathers of every person on the earth. However, when we get to Genesis chapter 10, and we have a document which is called the Table of Nations, and I want to remind you that this Table of Nations that we find in Genesis 10 is between 3,000 and 3,500 years old. And it gives the descendants of Ham, the descendants of Shem, and the descendants of Japheth. And it tells where they populate in the different places and where they go and populate. Now, if you take a linguistic chart, languages, and you were to connect languages and where the languages came from, you know that languages are related, right? And if you were to take related languages and you put those related languages together and you go backwards into people groups, you can then take that as a stencil and you can lay it right over the Table of Nations and it matches perfect. So that languages and the study of languages and their dispersion around the world actually back up Scripture. And I'll read you a couple of quotes of secular professors talking about the amazing aspect of the Table of Nations, because it really does. Not only does it talk about the dispersion of languages, but it talks about the dispersions of people, and that every person alive today can be traced back to Ham, Shem, or Japheth. Every single person. They've been able to do that through languages, which once again, sometimes we need those confirmations. Sometimes we need to be able to go, look at that, the Bible and science and all, they're together now and they're standing together. People say, well, you know, the science of studying languages has now confirmed the Bible. No, I think maybe the Bible's confirmed the work you're doing as a scientist. I look at it a little bit differently. Nevertheless, it's good for us to be encouraged that way, isn't it? It's good for us to come across those and go, isn't that interesting? And how do people deal with that? How do non-believers, how do just humanists deal with the fact that you can trace back to these three men just as the Bible talks about the Table of Nations? Stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. You thought I was going to tell you how they deal with it, didn't you? I could tell. Not going to do it. Because I don't know how they deal with it. I can't tell you. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. And we really are amazed that we find the gospel in these 10 names in Genesis. And that way back then, you put it in there that you're going to come down and bring the despairing comfort. Lord, I can't help but think that there may be some here tonight who are despairing. You came, you went to that cross, and we took communion tonight, thinking of that cross, that hope, that comfort. that would be brought to us by the work that you did. Lord, we once again surrender to you. We pray you'd fill us with your Spirit. We pray you would open up doors for us to share our faith. We pray that you would knit our hearts together. We would bear one another's burdens and love one another, even as you have commanded us to. Lord, that we take what we find here in the pages of Scripture and we'd apply it. We would truly live it. That we would walk with you, even as Enoch walked with you. He was an example of what you require of us, to know you, to love you, to walk with you. Lord, we're thankful that we don't have to join a church or a denomination to make it into heaven, that we can just know you. We want to know you. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a couple of minutes. We're almost done. I'd like to ask that no one would leave early. We're almost finished. We'll dismiss you here shortly. If you're here and you've never committed your life to Christ, maybe today is the day that God has set aside, since before the foundations of the world, that you would say, I'm ready to live for Him. Jesus went to the cross so your sins could be forgiven, so you could have a fresh start. And that's a good thing. It's good for you to have a fresh start. However, there's more. He died for you and went to the cross for you so you could know Him, so you could interact with Him. And He's got a call. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose for you. You aren't just here. You're not just taking up space. You're not just breathing air. God has a reason for your life. He's got a reason for you. And if tonight you would say, Lord, I want you. The Bible says if any man would receive Him, He'll give you the power to become a child of God, even to those who believe in His name. If you would say, Lord, I want you in my life, if you'd invite Him in, Jesus will, well, He's been drawing you. He'll come into your life. Now, if you don't want Him, you don't have to invite Him, and He won't come in. But if tonight you invite Him in, the Bible says that He stands at the door and knocks. If anyone hears His voice and opens that door, He'll invite him in. So He's knocking. It's not your idea. It's His idea. He's drawing you. He's saying, I want you. I love you. I want you. You are responding to Him. He's knocking at the door of your heart. So if you're here today, you want to surrender your life to Christ and you want to begin to live for Him, then I'm going to ask you to do something simple. Just lift your hand up. Lift your hand up now. Lift your hand up high. You're saying, I'm done living for myself and I'm ready to live for Him. God bless you, ma'am. Back over to the left, and God bless you, sir. To my left as well. Anyone else? You scan the room one more time. Just raise your hand now. God bless you. In front of the sound booth, that's great. Anyone else? God bless you, ma'am. Back over to the left. All right. You can put your hands down. And if I missed your hand, it's okay. God saw it, all right? But you put your hands down. I would like everyone, including those who raised their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I have sinned. And I know my sin has separated me from you. I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus upon the cross. So I invite you into my life. And I turn from my sin that I can live for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome to the family of God. Amen.
We hope you've been blessed and encouraged here at Practical Christian Living Radio to live out God's Word and to love like Jesus as you do. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com, where you'll find recordings of weekly services at Calvary Tucson and also archives of Practical Christian Living programs. For our local radio listeners, Calvary Tucson is open and holding physical services while being mindful and considerate of social distancing guidelines. We also have new service times. Our East Campus now meets Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9:45 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service times will remain the same, Wednesday, 6 p.m. at East Campus, 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you have concerns about your health or you're in a high-risk category, please attend our online campus. You can watch at live.calvarytucson.com and also on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Our online campus is available during East Campus service times. For a complete list of social distancing policies and updates on when other ministries within our church will reopen, please visit calvarytucson.com. If Practical Christian Living Radio has blessed you and you would like to donate and help support this ministry, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. Have you accepted Jesus into your life, or do you have questions about salvation? Please email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. And we want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN 9. May you walk in the grace and peace of Jesus today.